Welcome back to That Rugby Podcast, hosted by myself and Husey of the Sports Booth. Look, we were away last week due to myself being in Dublin, Ireland, watching the Six Nations actions go on and watching a Six Nations victory for the Irish. But we are back, and we're back after two rounds of intriguing Super Rugby results. A bit happening there. So I thought, why not kick this off, Husey, with some contenders and pretenders through the first five rounds of Super Rugby, because I think we are at the point a third of the way through the seasons where there are some that are showing signs that they will do some damage this season, and there are some that are showing that they are not fit for the fight.
Yeah, look, there are, for my mind, there are really. There's two teams, even within my contenders, I've sort of broken them down to, I've got them sort of like, I've got two teams that are like, okay, these two can, like the clear-cut favorites to be winners of the comp. And then I've got two that are like, they can push those two sides. I wouldn't say that they would be a favorite in a matchup against either of those two. So my contenders, well, the Hurricanes for one, I think no surprises there. I think everyone seeing how the Hurricanes have played so far this season, just blitzing through everyone really, you know, demolished the Force week one, took care of business against the Reds in week two in Super Round, right? And the Reds are another one of those teams I have as contenders, right? I beat the Blues, again, another one of those teams I had as contenders. Beat the Crusaders in Christchurch, I believe. Is that, am I right? Yep. So another a big win in the heart of opposition territory, and then beat the Rebels as well. Now, this week coming up, they've got the Highlanders down in Dunedin, but I'm really having circled on my calendar week eight, 2 weeks from now, where they will host the Chiefs. I think should be a top of the table clash. I think both those teams have got something right now that is separating them from all the other teams, and it's just going to be a fantastic game of rugby. Now, my other contenders, I mentioned two of them there. I've mentioned the others of them there: the Reds, the Chiefs, and the Blues. Now, the Chiefs are my sort of second top team. Right, you know, they kicked off the season holding off the Crusaders. They beat the Brumbies, beat them down. They lost to the Chiefs in Queensland, which I think is an important thing to note. They lost in Queensland. Sorry?
You said lost to the Chiefs.
Oh, sorry. They lost to the Reds in Queensland. The Chiefs lost to the Reds in Queensland. Thank you for that. But the Reds are another one of those teams, and that's a match I want to circle back to. Took care of business against Fiji and beat the Highlanders. The Highlanders are a sneaky good team. I think they're a step below contenders. So they're one of my pretenders. I think that they will be in the finals. I think they could maybe cause an upset, but I don't think they could win at all. The Blues, I'm not going to spend too much time on them. I think they're a strong team. They've got the roster that could cause some damage. I don't have the same feeling of destiny about them like I do the Hurricanes and the Chiefs, though. I want to focus a little bit here on the Reds, because the Reds started the season strong with a victory over the Tars, lost to the Canes in Super Round, then they beat the Chiefs. I think that is why I classify the Reds as contenders, because I think they can take those games off of New Zealand teams. Then they drubbed the Rebels, lost to the Force in Perth. Now, that one is why I have the Reds down a tier as well, right? Is that they can have just some crazy results where it's like, what is going on? And it's that sort of inconsistency that has sort of haunted Queensland the last couple of years. So Les Kiss is already working some magic. Don't think he's ironed out all the kinks just yet. If we look at my pretenders, this is just the teams that are in the top eight we've looked at here. The Rebels, I don't think needs too much explanation. I think that's just a maths game for why they're in the top eight at the moment. The Brumbies are so inconsistent. They have the means and the ability to be a top four team. They're just not putting it all together. They still look a bit clunky and janky for me. I feel like maybe losing Nick White has actually hurt them more than it's gained the Force, really. The Highlanders, I think they are a worthy top eight team. I don't think they can win the comp. And then the Drua, and I think this is going to be our point of differentiation. I think they're good. I think they're top eight. I don't think they're going to win the comp. I don't think they can realistically win the comp. Those other four teams, the Canes, Chiefs, Reds, and Blues, there's just a step difference between them, right? Because let's look at the Drua's results to think about this, right? Week one, they lost to the Blues quite heavily. Super round, they lost to Moana Pacifica. Now, that's always a shootout game, but Moana Pacifica got the wood over them there. Like, they lost the game. They beat the Crusaders, right? But everyone's beaten the Crusaders this year. That is no longer an accomplishment, right? It's 0-5. They got thrashed by the Chiefs, which is one of those top-tier teams. Them and the Blues, those are those top echelon teams. Fiji haven't had success against them. And then they just eked out an overtime win over the Waratahs while playing in Fortress Fiji, right? That to me, and they let the Waratahs come back in that game, which is the worrying thing, especially because, and I say this as a Waratahs fan, the Waratahs aren't built to come back. They really struggled to play from behind. They've had a lot of inconsistency. They have made a lot of silly errors, give away a lot of penalties. Their kicking game has not been sharp. And the Waratahs are also not fully healthy. So to only win by 3 points there, against a team that is, I think, they're third from the bottom of the table, for me, it is worrying. That's telling, probably even more so than their losses to the Chiefs and the Blues.
Drua, who I will circle back to, because I think there's reasoning behind me having them as contenders. Now, what I've got five contenders, and the reason I've got five contenders is, out of the top eight, is because all five of these I've put into a group. And this is a group where I think the higher they finish, the better they are, is basically the group I'm calling them. Because I've got the Hurricanes, Chiefs, Reds, Blues, and the Drua. Now, all five of those teams are yet to have a good away win. Now, you could sit there and say the Hurricanes beat the Crusaders, but as you mentioned, everyone's beating the Crusaders. It doesn't count.
They beat the Force away. They beat the Force in Perth. Beat the Reds in Perth.
Again, but the Force, who have a one win. Like, that's not a famous away victory.
No.
You look at the Chiefs, they had their opportunity against the Reds to take a famous away victory. Didn't get it. You look at the Blues had their opportunity against the Hurricanes when they went to Hurricanes. Mm. Didn't do it. So, and then the Drua as well. When you look at that, you go, okay, they've had two chances and blown both of them with the Blues and the Chiefs. And then the game against Moana, as we said, it's a bit of a toss-up. I think all of their games have been decided by 3 points or less in the history of their two teams in that comp. So if these teams can win at home, which I think they will all win at home and win at home throughout, it's who's going to have the best away record with that.
Yeah.
Now, Hurricanes just slightly above the Reds because they won in Melbourne on Super Round, but again, it went into extra time. So that's where I'm at with these contenders. I'm like, as much as they are contenders, there's no famous away victory yet.
Yeah, I guess when you finish that high, it doesn't matter. You know, so I agree with you that definitely as the higher you place, the better chance you've got there. I think home field advantage is stronger this year than maybe in recent years. And it's heartbreaking as a Waratahs fan. The last three games have been decided by 3 points or less, you know, and two of those were home games that very easily could have been won, especially the Highlanders game. The Drua game was forced to extra time. It sucks as a Waratahs fan. The Waratahs could be 4-1. Instead, they're sitting at 1-4. You know, it's a tough time as a Waratahs fan. So the Waratahs, even though they're not in those ranks yet, they could come up. You know, it sounds harsh to say they could come up into that pretenders list very easily, even be challenging for a higher spot. You know, they've clearly got the ability. It's just those end of game scenarios, but that's what makes those teams good. That's what makes you a contender, is that you can close out in those end of game situations. So as close as we could see some of the results have been this year, that's where you're really starting to see. That's why I think the Hurricanes win over the Reds is big. Forced to extra time against a red hot team, you know, pardon the pun, and a team that went on to beat the Chiefs the next week as well. Like, that's a really great win. I think the Forces win over the Reds this week will come back to haunt the Reds. That might deny them a top two spot, which might cost them a spot in a grand final.
I totally agree. I think it'll come back to haunt them. But I also think don't underrate the Force at home. Like,
yeah,
although they've lost to Moana and the Hurricanes at home, they're obviously working things out. Like, again, yeah, a lot of turnover. So it's not a place as a contender I would like to be going, is out to Western Australia.
I think even Moana Pacifica this year could force their way into the top eight, which is incredible to say. Like, when after the years of struggle they have, I for one am very happy to see Moana Pacifica are now a contending team. Like, they're contending against the other Super Rugby teams. Now, they're not maybe contending against the top teams, but there's Australian teams that aren't contending against the top teams. Even last year, the Highlanders weren't necessarily contending against the top teams. So the fact that they're now, I think we can say, right, Moana Pacifica, they're a fully fledged Super Rugby team, right? They can't go anywhere now. I think they're stamping their authority on the competition, which is fantastic. Which is
totally
what we want.
Totally agree. And again, you don't need to have a winning record to get into the top eight of this competition. So, look, as we say that, let's move on to my pretenders just quickly. So I have all the same as you: Highlanders, Rebels, Brumbies. For the Brumbies, do not let their last result mask how bad they've been this season. Like, yes, they put 60 on the Moana Pacifica, and then they, in their first game, looked really good against Rebels, but I still had question marks then. And throughout, it's just been question mark after question mark. Like, they haven't answered a lot of my questions yet.
Yeah, look, they nearly lost to the Force in Canberra in week three as well. So that's the Force who, you know, Perth is their fortress. They don't travel well. The fact that they nearly lost to the Force in Canberra, it's crazy to think, because some of those tries against Moana Pacifica were things of just absolute brilliance. But it's just sometimes this execution. I think in these big games, there something is not right there. Something is not working there. Now, surprisingly, I think Noah Lolasio has played very well for the Brumbies himself, which he didn't necessarily do last year. It's just like, okay, it's hard to identify exactly where the falling flat is coming from. You know what I mean? Like, it's maddeningly inconsistent when they can be so brilliant. But I think this year they're a bit of some flat track bullies. I will say they did have one really good result. Again, it's this inconsistency where they went to Dunedin and won in Dunedin against the Highlanders. But it's like, they're capable of that. They're capable of squeezing out those games, those tight victories. We saw it, you know, their clashes with the Hurricanes the last few years, both in the regular season and in the finals, have been great rugby. Great, great rugby. But this year, you know, the Brumbies of previous years have been all about precision, execution, really playing the game to a high level, you know, and sort of almost, I wouldn't say masking a lack of talent, but like not relying on pure talent to win them games. Like, they're relying on their game planning, their precision, set pieces to win them games. And it's just not quite the same level this year.
It feels like, a little bit like the Reds are what the Brumbies have been for the past few years, like the way the Reds are playing. But so that's the Brumbies for me. For Rebels, their wins against the Force and Moana Pacifica, I'm not taking a lot from the Rebels. Every time they've had to face a decent team, they've crumbled and crumbled big time. Had an opportunity to put their hands up against the Canes and went down 31-0 at a stage. So, they were just diabolical in that game. So they're, and the Highlanders, and the reason I've got the Highlanders specifically in this Pretenders one is they have tackled their hearts out. They have played like soldiers this season. They haven't got the talent of those other, the North Island Super Rugby franchises, should I say, this year. but they've played incredibly well up to now, and they're still, are they 2-3 or 3-2? I think they're 2-3.
They're 2-3.
Yeah, and they've and what we consider, I think, playing really well at the moment, and you've still got under 500 records. So that's why I just have them as a pretender. I don't see it's them, as you said, winning the championship.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game this week against the Canes, them and the Canes.
In Dunedin, if I'm correct. So, yeah, look, this is, we're one third of the way through the season, and again, this is only the top eight at the moment we've looked at. The bottom four teams, as you said, I think the Tars have a good chance. The Crusaders, back into their schedule, is actually very favourable, and if they can turn steady the ship, they could get in there. Force, if they get onto a run, and as you've mentioned, Moana Pacifica, all opportunities put themselves, but I think those contenders are really up there.
Waratahs have got a chance here to right the ship. Next 3 weeks, they've got, they're hosting the Rebels in Canberra. Now, that's going to be the big one. That, to me, will say if the Waratahs are legit this year or not, right? If they can beat the Brumbies in Canberra, you know, the Brumbies are vulnerable at the moment, and the Waratahs have got the pieces to do it. That's going to be a big one. And then they host the Crusaders, right? So, look, with how the Crusaders are playing, very possible that they win that one as well, given that they beat them in Super Round. So, effectively, having two Australian games against the Crusaders this year is really big for the Waratahs. And as well, I think the Waratahs are very motivated against the Crusaders for the fact that Rob Penny is the coach there. And he, before the Super Round clash, had some words about the Waratahs organization that I think some players took umbrage to. You know, and he was basically saying, oh, I feel sorry for Darren Coleman. And I think the players were like, well, fuck you. We'll show you what we think of you for saying that you feel sorry for our coach. We're going to play our bloody hearts out and beat you. So hopefully they recreate that effort. And at that point, they'll have a bye round and they'll go into that 4-4 if they can pull off those wins. And that would be really big for the Waratahs, because then they have some tough matches after that. The Chiefs away at the Canes and hosting the Brumbies, and then away to the Force. So, you know, they need to, this is an opportunity for them to right the ship ahead of the end of the year.
Yeah. As I said, all of those teams, I think, are going to be pushing. But as you've mentioned earlier in this part, that home field advantage, if you defend your home field and you can get a couple of big away wins, you're going to end up in the right position on the table. So, look, really interesting second, third coming up of this season, that patch, we call it the bye third, where we have some byes for some reason. And then into the final third, we'll definitely know who our contenders are. But I would like to move on to one team in particular in that bottom.
I wonder which team this could be. What possible team could be singled out against all of the others this season?
Yeah, only one. And we've got to make an, obviously, an example of them, and that is the Crusaders. A historical bad start for the Crusaders, which...
Yeah.
Fills the joy of every other Super Rugby team. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to work out, like, you've kind of seen the New England Patriots in the NFL struggle, and everyone else has quite enjoyed that for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if the Melbourne Storm were to start struggling in the NRL, I think everyone else would enjoy seeing that.
I got shivers just thinking about that. Shivers.
Now we see the Crusaders, who have been dominant for so long, lose yet another game, go to 0-5, and don't have the easiest schedules coming up in the next couple of weeks either. So
yeah, we predicted that they could be 0-7. We said it could happen.
So if I believe, have they got the Chiefs this week?
They're hosting the Chiefs, so that's important. They're hosting the Chiefs. Then they have a bye. Then they are at the Waratahs. Oh, they're here in Sydney for the Waratahs. So, two of not the easiest games. Like, we've seen even, you know, the Highlanders and the Blues didn't have runaway wins in Sydney, and the Highlanders really should have lost that game if Tane Edmund could kick. The Blues game, there was every opportunity for the Waratahs to win that as well. So it's not as if teams have just rolled over the Waratahs this year either. So, yeah, look, we could be – look, I'm praying for it, praying that we see it. Then they go to Perth, right, and the Force – played strongly in Perth, so that could be 0-8, right? I'm just charting the. I don't think they'll go 0-15 because they host the Rebels. Now they should win that. I'll give them that one. They host the Rebels, host the Reds. That might be. I think the Reds will probably take that one. So one win at this point. away at the Brumbies. Let's hope the Brumbies have got their shit together by then, because it's week 13. Host the Blues. Let's say the Blues are quite strong on that one. And it's my birthday when they play there as well. So as a birthday gift to me, the Blues will win.
Of course.
Then they host Moana Pacifica. I reckon they'll win that. So 2-13. 2-13 is the likely end of season win loss record of the Crusaders.
Well, which would be a blessing for every other Super Rugby fan in the history of Super Rugby. I want to touch quickly on the Crusaders and how they're in this predicament. Now, obviously, injuries haven't helped, but what I think this has highlighted is coaching. They are not as clinical. They're missing way more tackles. So as much as we can say Razor and everything there is something going on in the coaching setup with Rob Penny and everything like that. It's not flawless, and that's what he needed to be if he was going to get this team up there. What I also think it highlights is the importance of a player like Richie Mwanga and how much he's hid the issues they could be having. Scrum half, halfback, whatever you want to call it, they haven't been strong. Willie Hines is 37 odd years old. Noah Hoffman is coming up. He was under 20, so I think he's 20-21. And then they had Mitch Drummond. So what I think it's highlighting is what a job Richie Mwanga did, bringing not the most talented halfback around him and turning it into, you know, diamonds, basically, turning rocks into diamonds. Because if you look at it, you've got Levi Moore outside him, David Havili. You've got the same amount of talent outside of him. Sever Reese is having a really good season. The engine room's not that much different. Yes, they've got injuries. Scott Barrett out, Ethan Blackadder out, a couple of Tamatai Williams out. So, look, there are some big losses there. Cody Taylor not playing, but not enough for me to go they should be in the position that they are in. And they're losing games where previous years they would win them. Like the Hurricanes game, up 10-7 with 5 minutes to go, led a try in. Crusaders normally find a way to win that game. They're just not doing what the Crusaders culture normally does. And I think Razor and Richie going is now being identified as a bigger loss than what even I thought at the start of the season. When I ranked them and said they were going to finish sixth and people laughed at me. Now who's laughing as they sit in 12th?
Yeah.
I could have dropped them down two places and I'd have been now laughing even more at you. So
I think as well, I very much agree with what you're saying. It's a lot of un-Crusader-like mistakes. You know, I look at the Waratahs game that they lost because I watched that one all the way through. A lot of just bad mistakes in there that they normally wouldn't make. That players like Scott Barrett, who wouldn't make that mistake in an All Blacks jersey, was making those mistakes in a Crusaders jersey. And, you know, I think it does go to show you that Super Rugby performance isn't always reflective of what your national performance will be or could be. It is just it's something has been lost, and it's probably multiple things, as you've said. Like, it's not just Richie Mwanga, it's not just Razor, it's not just the players and injuries. It could be a combination of all of these. But is fixing any one of those, you know, is fixing the injuries going to be enough to make up for the other two? Probably not. Maybe it'll help them get a step up and they won't finish 2-13, but it's not going to be enough to get them back to where they were. You know, to draw the analogy back to the New England Patriots, Richie Mwanga, Tom Brady left, right? And, I think even if Bill Belichick, Razor were still in that position, they could be competitive, but maybe they wouldn't be anywhere near as competitive as they were otherwise. Then if you lose the coach as well, you've lost Bill Belichick and Razor, you've got a new coach in. No matter who that is, I think they're going to struggle straight up as well. I think we've all become just so accustomed to the Crusaders being so great year after year after year after year after year that we probably now have just assumed that the Crusaders have just got something mythically in their DNA that when you put on that red and black jersey, you just become a great player. What we probably haven't recognized enough is probably the work of what their equivalent of a general manager is, or what their work they have done, you know, to not only to keep putting together competitive rosters, competitive talent. And then this year, it just hasn't happened. So whether there's been some changes in that department as well, that's a side of rugby that no one ever really talks about. Like I, for example, would have no idea who in the Waratahs building is responsible for signing players, extending their contracts, working out those details and things like that. So I think that's probably an important element of what hasn't happened within the Crusaders. And we saw the same thing with the New England Patriots, right? Previously, there were executives that helped Bill Belichick with the drafting and things like that, and they managed to always somehow make it work, get those gems, get the free agents. That started to not happen towards the later end of Belichick's career because some of those executives went elsewhere. One of them notably has gone to the Houston Texans, and they're starting to do pretty well. So I think it's a similar thing here. Whoever has been that sort of puppet master behind the scenes, pulling the strings of putting the talent in place, making sure that the coach that they get is the right coach that can work within that situation, that just hasn't happened again. That it's just been, this year has been a misfire, right? And that will happen, right? And it's great for all of us to revel in, and it's probably great for Super Rugby that it has happened. But I think that's probably more influential than what most people think. I think it's going to be very easy to pile onto Rob Penny, right? And I don't have very much sympathy for him, but it is what it is.
Why don't you have much sympathy for him? Go on,
tell I came into the season hoping actually that he'd do well, you know, that he would get a second chance after the Waratahs. Then when he mouthed off about the Waratahs ahead of the Crusaders game, I was like, that, you know, you've kept your silence for 3 years. It's only now once you feel secure in a job and you think you're going to beat the Waratahs that you chose to spoke out. That's a bit, you know, that's a bit low for me. It's a bit of a stab in the back kind of thing. And at a time where Darren Coleman's job was being questioned, you just added fuel to the fire for your own reasons. Like, that to me is like, that's, and it's, it was so passive aggressive and so like, oh, I'm supporting Darren Coleman, but really it's like, no, you're just twisting the knife. Like that for me, I thought that was beneath a Super Rugby coach to do. So I was not a fan of that. And that's erased any sympathy or hopes I have for Rob Penny. But at the same time, I can see that this is not 100% squarely to put at his feet.
It is, yeah, and I agree with you. It isn't, you can't just blame him. But a couple of things kind of come up, and you probably don't know this as well as New Zealanders know this, but what gets talked about, especially in rugby circles, is the Crusaders culture. They sit there, yep, and they constantly talk about how great that culture is, how all of that works, how they, the Crusaders way they build players and do things like that is just so much better. And I like what you've said, like, their fly half backup or first five backup, Rehaz Rehana, is out injured. Then they had Kimura, I think it was, who was the under-20s, who just hasn't stood up. And then they've had to sign Riley Holhepa, who wasn't with a Super Rugby franchise all preseason, and now he's their starting 10 and leading the ship. And there's nothing, again, Riley is a very good player, but he wasn't signed pre-season or anything like that, I believe. I'll have to review the footage, but I'm pretty sure he didn't even go over with them to Ireland or to England. So they just haven't had that ready ship leader, captain of the ship, taking them into battle. Saying all of this, it's not often that a Super Rugby coach goes into the hot seat during the season. Now, there was talks of, obviously, Darren Coleman. I think those have wound down a little because of performances. Again, as you said, three games, 3 points or less, losses, and a win against the Crusaders. Now, it's even more rare for it to happen in a New Zealand circle, and maybe the rarest thing to ever happen in New Zealand rugby, which is a Crusaders coach to be on the hot seat. But if they go, if they say they lose the next, say they're 0-7, I think they knew they're going to win one against the Rebels, but then they lose like against the Reds at home. Do you just go, all right, like, as much as it isn't all on Rob Penny, we've got to, someone needs to be held accountable for these actions.
Yeah.
And does he get the chop? Because Crusaders fans, as we have already found out, are very fickle. They are fickle. They like to win, and that's all they like to do, and they expect to win. And they are not winning this season. And
Where are you going to find a coach, though? Like, honestly, like, who do you think is out there that could be that much
but
better?
I think they just put someone into an interim position. Yeah. I think they've got Tamati Allison in there, who's a highly regarded coach in New Zealand circles. I'm pretty sure he's now assistant coach, was backs coach when Razor was there. So he's been in the circle before. So does something like that happen and they just go, look, his own Tamati must be only like early 40s, if not late 30s. Had played rugby at the highest level all over the world. Do they just go, look, Rob Penny, we were trying to get you into steadership. You haven't done that. Let's go. We've got this young team for the last three games. Let's see how they react to Tamati Allison being the head coach and see if he can do a job and push us in the direction for next year. Because at the point when they're, let's say, 1-9, 1-10, what is there left for Rob Penny to do? Because he hasn't done what was expected of him, which was just to steady the ship.
Yeah, 100%.
It's one of those questions I think we may not see an answer to, but it'll be interesting. I think if he lasts this season and they go 2-13, I don't think he'll be back next season. And I think they only signed him to a 2 or 3 year deal, so it wasn't like they've got a multi-year commitment to him. But I can't imagine if they go 2-13 that Crusaders fans will be too happy with him sticking around.
Well, they can deal with it.
Yeah,
it's about time that they're not happy.
Your Tars fans had to deal with it. And so did he get fired when they were 0-11, or did he lead them through that 0-12 season all the way?
No, he didn't last the whole season. He was sacked 5 games into the season after 5 straight losses.
Yeah, fair enough.
There you go.
Yeah, so I imagine, look, Crusaders, 5 straight losses. He's got one more week.
He's lasted longer than the Waratahs.
He's lasted longer than he was at the Waratahs. But, yeah, last part for today. Look, Georgia have called out Wales.
Thrown down the gauntlet.
Yeah, and I'm all for this. I love this, and I love that Wales have apparently sent an email and replied. And I would love to see a game out of this. Look, I've got no problem with, at the moment, no relegation and promotion in Six Nations. And the reason I say that is I don't want to see Wales not playing against England and not playing against... I want to see those games. And it may be arrogant of me because I've probably been calling for it in previous podcasts when it's been Italy. And Italy haven't been doing so well. But again, as the Italians have said, they don't have the history. I don't want to see that. But I also don't want Georgia to be running riot and not getting competitive games. So I love that Georgia have gone out of their way and done that. And I love that Wales hopefully will answer this call. And I think this was a fantastic thing. And I go, this is a little bit of that showmanship that rugby doesn't have. Like, we're stuck to our classic ways. You know, you think about the UFC, or even if you want to go like deep into it, WWE, where, you know, someone can call someone out and it's a battle for the title. And we just don't see that because our schedules are so heavily impacted. Like, we've got to do this, got to do that, got to do this. Why don't, you know, we do this where once a year every team can call out one nation? And again, there's got to be some, hey, look, Georgia are the first team. They can select one nation. They call them out. And then no other team can obviously call them out because you can't have 10 All Black games or 10 teams calling out Wales. But I just think it'd be awesome to go, hey, we have like this call-out weekend where it's like a team, a tier two team has called out a tier one nation and go, we want to face you and we want to beat you and we want to show that we're better than you. And just having those moments where we can go, oh shit. And, you know, I would love like to see like a heavyweight championship fight build up for this Georgia-Wales game. Although it's, you know, as we're talking, it's like 10th versus 11th in the world. How cool would that be just to have that build up, that notion of, this is a team that's called someone out and they want to steal what you've got.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think even if you were to formalize it into a promotion relegation game, I don't even think that would necessarily be the worst idea. You know, for someone with some Welsh heritage, you know, I feel for the Welsh team. But, you know, I think, it's a great little, as you said, bit of showmanship, bit of marketing for the game. You know, that tier two European rugby competition was a great competition, you know, for some nations there in like Spain who got a bit of a highlight on the world rugby stage who normally we don't hear anything about. So I don't think it's a bad idea. I think world rugby's got to learn to capitalize on the international rugby game, because I think the international rugby game is the strongest part of our game by far, better than the URC, better than Super Rugby, better than all that. I think the more international stuff we can get, the better. It's just working that into the calendar and managing player loads, making sure they're not killing themselves. So I'm all for it. I love international rugby.
Yeah, and I'm in the same. And I just sat there and I just thought, you know, thinking about that European. Imagine like the Netherlands calling out South Africa, as much as like, you know, like that's too Dutch heritage and all of that. How cool that would be to see a game like that in the Netherlands. You know, in a packed out stadium somewhere, the Johan Cruyff Arena. You go there and you get like, you obviously South Africa probably not sending their superstars, but you'd get a decent now South African team.
Yeah.
With some players wanting to earn the jersey, go out and play a Netherlands team. I just think stuff like that would be historic. And I believe
it'd be
Portugal,
great for building up those countries' rugby scenes.
Exactly. And Portugal, I believe, are playing South Africa in one of the end of the year games, which is exactly what, but I would love to see more like, rather than it just being formalised behind the scenes, to actually, okay, yeah, formalise it behind the scenes, but then when we announce it in a way like this, like,
give it some WWE. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, like, you don't need to do everything transparent and anything like that. Like, get some sneakiness in there for your marketing, you know? Like, there's certain things that, yes, should be transparent. But, like, stuff like this, yeah, get those social media managers earning their paychecks and being creative and things like that, you know? Yeah, I'd love to see that for even within Super Rugby and stuff. Like, not necessarily calling people out, but letting the social media managers off the chain a little bit, being a little bit more risque with some of their postings and things like that, getting them to have a bit of banter between the accounts. I think NFL does it decently well. I think they could do better. There's times when some of them do it really well and some of them don't do it so well. But, yeah, just getting a bit more banter in there, a bit more, like, humanizing these accounts rather than just making them, you know, the corporate stoic-faced accounts. Just getting a bit of, like, you know, as much as competitive sport is a business as well, like, no one's looking at these teams and looking at their social media pages, oh, so unprofessional, I'm not going to support Super Rugby anymore. No, we're all, you know, people watch rugby and sports like rugby because they enjoy watching grown men run into each other, right? Like, at the end of the day, let's be real, that's what we're there for. We're all there for a bit of hard contact, right? So, you know, your crowd isn't necessarily people that are looking to see super professionalism from their social media pages, right? We're not looking for LinkedIn, right? We're looking for Instagram. We're looking for Facebook. We're looking for Twitter, right? That's the type that we're looking for, those level of interactions, right? And then save the LinkedIn stuff for LinkedIn. Have a Waratahs page on LinkedIn and do the Waratahs business site there, right? For example,
I don't know if you've seen the Blues one recently where they've done the intern posting.
I've seen a couple of them. There was one really great one where someone posted something like the Blues did a post about their like historic games against the Crusaders, and they had a picture of like a huge crowd there. And someone said, oh, these great crowds, what can we ever do to get back to these? And the account just replied, show up. And I was like, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, they've got this as well. They did one and it was like, intern posting, and it was this terrible like graphic design, like, but just a whole bunch of really cool. I'll put it on up now for everyone, for the viewers who are watching on YouTube, to see it. And they've commented as well, they've gone, any jobs at Hurricanes open? And I'm like, see, that's the stuff you want to see, like, again, as you've just said, like, more call outs, more stuff like that.
They did a good job last year, I think, as well, with something, I think in the preseason, either a schedule reveal or a jersey reveal. I remember the Blues and one other account, maybe it was the Force or something, that had some really good posts then about, oh, it was when, I know what it was. It was when Threads came out, right? The Instagram new social media app. When that came out, all of the accounts in there were having a pretty good, like the ones that had gotten there first, the Chiefs account was really good at it on there, because they're like, my manager doesn't know what Threads is yet, so I can just post whatever I want and stuff. And it's like, that's great. That's really like humanizing these teams and the social media accounts and stuff. And that, like, that brings fans into it more.
Totally. Couldn't agree more. So yeah, look, we're hoping more call outs come in the future in international rugby and potentially in Super Rugby. Yeah. That's exactly what we want to see. But yeah, that is that rugby podcast for today. Make sure you stay tuned. We will be back again next week, same time, same place. From myself and Husey, thank you and goodbye.
Peace.